Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Again, it is Mother's Day, and I hope you've had a good one, and I hope you called your mother. I'm in trouble because I waited to call mine too late, and I'm going to call her after the service, so pray for me. And man, I did text early this morning, but I haven't called her yet. And so tonight I'd like for you to turn to two separate passages of Scripture. We're going to deal with one of them and preach out of one and kind of try to show parallels. And so for the tape room tonight, the title is Parallel Truths to Live By. Parallel truths to live by. You know, this is a book of truth, and we all know that. And so many of the truth or the doctrines of the Bible are taught in so many of the different books. But sometimes, because of the way God used a certain writer or used him in two different books in different ways, he'll not say it exactly the same, but they'll overlap each other. And tonight, I just want to take a little bit of time as we head in. And Hebrews chapter 13 is where we'll be at to preach. And if you open your Bibles there in about verse 8, and then go and hold your finger or put one of the ribbons of your Bible there, or if you have something else, maybe the bulletin in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4 tonight. And just want to make a few preliminary comments, or just right up front let you know some things about just some truth. I think sometimes we, as believers, we don't know much about the power of God because we don't know much about praising Him. You know, a lot of times we lack power because we spend so much of our time focused on what's wrong with everybody else. And if our eyes were, if we kept our eyes on perfection, we would see our own faults. If we kept praising God and for who He was, it would reflect who, what we're not, and we would keep focused on ourselves. And again, there's a communication or a focus between us and Him. So many times we try, instead of taking a hard look at Him and praising Him for who He is and what He's done for us, we would rather look at the person next to us and keep pace with them. And as long as I'm one step ahead of my brother, I'm really good. Instead of realizing the perfection in the Son of God, realizing the perfection in the Almighty God, there is no limit to the amount of things that we can complain about. There's no limit to the faults of our own selves and of others. But you'll not find any faults in God. And you'll not find any faults in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and again, just to be honest with you, there are a whole set of worldly people out there who are trying to find chinks in His armor, and they ain't found one yet. So we need to keep our eyes on Him. We know little about, you know, really having our prayers answered, really on some things, because we really, to be honest with you, we don't know. You know, God wants to answer our prayers in His will. But most of us are not concerned with doing God's will. We're interested in God answering our prayers in our own will, where we're at. So if we do, again, we can pray. We pray often for our prayer list for people that are sick, and we don't know what God is doing in their lives and whether it is His will or it isn't His will. But when we're talking about specific prayers being answered in our personal lives to see God working and His will accomplished, oftentimes we don't see a lot of those prayers answered because, one, we're not praying for those things, because we're not praying for His will to be accomplished. You know, when we're praying for protection and generalized prayers, I'm not talking about general prayers. It's good to pray that God would protect us, that God will take care of us. But when we talk about the Christian life, a lot of times we're so bogged down in complaining about others when we could take that time to pray. We could take that time to pray that God's will would be done not only in my life but in someone else's. And I'm not trying to knock everything. I'm just trying to get you in a right mindset about where the message is going tonight. I'm not trying to pull you down. I'm trying to get you to think honestly about yourself, because most of the time when we come in this building, if we're not careful, we're not looking to be helped. When the preacher starts preaching, we're like, get him, preacher. Yeah, sick him. We're thinking about who somebody else needs the message instead of us thinking we need it. Instead of thinking that we... Honestly, that's something true. I'm not sure that I do that. I'm not sure that that is true about my life. When we come in the building, God, the message, folks, I'm going to wave you down like an airplane on the strip tonight, all right? The message from God is for you. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I think sometimes we miss that. And also, both passages of Scripture tonight will talk about communication. Do you know one of the greatest lacks in most marriages that leads, again, it's not, you know, the what we lack is communication. There's not a lack of talking. Most of them, there's not a lack of hollering. It's communication. You know, communication comes in so many different forms. But the idea of communication is when somebody, you know how it is, when you have a problem communicating, a lot of times it's a different language, right? So what do we think? What is the first thing we do when someone doesn't hear us? We just talk louder. Because we think somehow if we make it louder and scream, and that's the American way, folks. The person that screams the loudest gets the most done for them, right? That's how the worldly mentality is. Rather than truly trying to convey truth or communicate. You know, and again, I'm not getting all lovey-dovey and saying communicate your feelings. That's not what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about the Scripture tonight, all right? So go to Philippians chapter number 4, and we're going to begin reading there tonight, but I want to pray first, and hopefully the Lord will let me deliver exactly what He's given me and that it will come out in a way that would be a help to us tonight. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your many blessings, Lord. I pray that You just be with us tonight, Lord. These two parallel truths, Lord, what You've shown me in my heart and through my own study, Lord, help me to be able to preach this tonight and not to get, it's not a teaching message, Lord, and there's so much here to teach, but Lord, help me to be able to read and help people be able to see and communicate what You've pressed upon my heart and given me a message for Your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In Philippians chapter number 4, a familiar passage of Scripture, we'll begin in verse number 4. I'm going to read, I will stop and say, I'm going to say some words that are there because you're going to see them again in what we're calling a parallel passage. Often when we talk about parallel passages, it's a direct quote from another book. That is not what this is going to be tonight. These are parallel truths from two books. And when we get to heaven, you may not know or believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, all right? It doesn't bear his name as a writer, but when we get to heaven, we'll all know that it was Paul. Okay? Amen? And so we can argue. If you want to argue about it, that's fine. You can be like all the rest of the liberals and realize it. Now, if you think it's Luke and Paul together, I'm with you, okay? Because they stuck together, and Paul didn't often write. So Luke may have been the one that wrote it down. Paul was the one that probably gave it to them as he got it from the Holy Spirit. Verse number 4, now that I've made everybody mad. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So Paul is writing, he's finishing the book, and he's pressing towards, under the inspiration of God, let your moderation be known unto all men. I'm not explaining everything here, but again, moderation means that I'm not going to extremes. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things, look at this, of are true, look, with just. Just, I mean, a just weight, a just measurement. And I don't know about you, but again, he's going to talk about thinking on these things. True, honest, just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. That means somebody's going to tell you a bad report. Instead of trying to think about how did that happen, thinking and weighing in, you know, I don't know about you, but it's not easy to shake a bad report, is it? But I'm not supposed to ponder and think on it. But a good report I can hold on to. I can say, praise the Lord, somebody got saved this morning. That's a good report. Praise the Lord, somebody got baptized this morning. Think about the times and where we leave our mind at most of the time. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both heard, learned and received and heard, seen in me. Look at this, do. Want you to see there, he says, all these things. So what you've learned, what you've received, and what you've heard of me, I want you to do those things. Don't just hold on. Don't just think. Take it past that and act on what you think about. What you've learned, received, and heard. He says, do. For the God of peace shall be with you, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished. Now Paul is going to talk to the church at Philippi, and he's going to say, man, you took care of me. Even when other people had greater opportunity, what happens when a church thinks on right things? When my heart and my mind are focused on missions, they give. Sometimes they look, we're going to see in the other passage, this church is going to sacrifice for the needs of someone doing the work of God. And he's going to say here, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity, not that I speak in respect of want. Paul, this person who's teaching them, is also practicing thinking on right things. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore, to be content. When you're thinking on right things, you're not thinking about what you don't have. You're thinking on what God did give you. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. You say, I don't understand that. Do you know today there's two different, you know, we can talk about how that works at the dinner table. That's when you were full of this, but when dessert came, you could eat that too. You say, how in the world does that work? Because you're full of this one thing, but you ain't really full. And that's really not what the Bible, even Paul, is talking about here. He's talking about, you know, sometimes you can be full of praising. Your praise can be full, but you're hungry to tell somebody else about Jesus. You can be full in the Christian life. You can be full in your relationships with your family and with Christ, but still hunger to have more. Still hunger to walk closer. Still hunger to have more communication. Even when your communication is full. And he says this, he goes through this, he says, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I know how to abound and just when everything's going right. And I also can suffer. And that's okay too. You know, we're not too good as Americans to suffer. We pray for the Ukraine, but boy, what if that was happening right here? I mean, again, if war came to our front door and was on our U.S. soil, would we be faithful to church, even in the midst of war? There's a good chance they'd shell the building tonight. Will we still show up and assemble together? And so much the more as we see the day approaching. We often don't think that way because we've never been put in that situation. But we need to know how to abound and how to suffer. He goes through all this. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, this is going to be said in the same way in the passage we go to, but it's going to use the term by him. So through Christ and by him, I want you to connect those. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now listen, Christ, when I'm going to do the will of God in my life, he's saying here, all these things, all I can suffer loss and I can abound through Christ. The book of Romans is constantly talking about dying to self and living through Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what Paul is speaking about here, is that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you know that you've heard so many preachers say, I was scared to death to speak in front of people, but God helped me. We could go through the building this even tonight and talk about the people that get in the choir and sing, and they used to never sing in front of people, but through Christ they can do so many things. Many of you that taught Sunday school and worked in a junior church or did something that you would never have been comfortable to do in the past, but now in Christ and through Christ, strengthening you, you do things that you never thought you were possible for you to do. Things that you never thought you'd ever be bold enough to do. And we understand and always apply it that way, but when we apply it to the work of God and our thinking, do you know one of the hardest things for us to keep straight is our mind? One of the hardest things for us to keep straight is our tongue? And we think about all the outward physical things, but so many of the things that we need to do for God so that our outward work is right are inward things that we do on a daily basis that have to be done through Christ. When done through the flesh, there's no power. It's just checking the box because I have to. He says, "Not notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." You know, I want you to connect and realize we're going to see communication in the next passage. But how many of us think of, we don't often think about communication as being not saying anything. But when someone loses somebody, what we do communicates so much of what can't be said. Showing up for people, being there, sometimes not saying anything, but going to your friend and hugging them, all those things are a part of communication. Communication goes way beyond just words. One of the greatest things in all of this world, listen, I don't know about you, but the greatest communication that God ever made for me was in the form of a cross, and his son laid down his life for me. That communicated from God. I've never heard the voice of God, although it's been recorded in the Bible that God spoke, that in his son he was well pleased. I've never heard the voice of God from heaven audibly speak. But God communicated to me his love by sending his son to die for me and pay for my sin debt. God never has, I've read him say that he loves me. I've never heard him say it, but he has communicated. His communication is full on my behalf. He has given me a book of his love. He has told me everything about the person that he sent to be my substitute, to take my place. And then in this book, he told me what that person meant to him. And if you don't understand that God's son meant so much to him, yet how much do I mean to him if he gave his son freely to die in my place? God has communicated much more than sometimes we understand because we don't think on the things that God has already revealed about himself to us. God has communicated his love. God has communicated his will. God has communicated to us what he wants us to do and how for us to live a victorious Christian life. But we often don't listen to his communication. We turn a deaf ear to it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Hebrews 13 is much some parallel truths, not set in the same order, and we'll preach this tonight in a hurry. But I want you to see in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, the Bible says some things here. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. So just in case you thought this was too Old Testament truth because it's in the book of Hebrew, or you thought that this could, because we're in this 21st century, that now these truths are outdated, this is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. God's will is still the same. God's power is still the same. His availability is still the same. I can do all things through Christ Jesus is still the same. Nothing has changed except for Christians in our age. Our willingness to sacrifice ourselves on the altar of self to live through Christ is really the problem of our age. We are not willing to give up our comforts and really our wants He goes on here and he says some things that are going to maybe be not startling to you, but and may not even sound profound, but if we would do them, it'd be profound in our life. He goes on in verse 9 and says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been coupled therein." The Apostle Paul, writing the writer of Hebrews, whatever you want tonight, there in this passage of Scripture, says to you that the things that you need to be grounded in are not the meat, but it's the milk. So many times people miss the train because they don't see where the track is. Do you know it would be ludicrous for you to go looking for a train in the woods and there's no tracks? Trains run on tracks. Do you know the foundational things that will keep you grounded and always keep you in truth is realizing these two tracks of truth are what I learned in Sunday school. And if the train that runs through here don't run on these tracks of truth, it ain't truth. It may be a big meat truck that's all shiny with all kinds of LED lights on it, but it ain't the train of truth. It's some diverse doctrine. Do you know, and we live in a day and age where those things fly up on the internet in front of us. They draw people away because they're flashy, they sound good, and maybe the person who is speaking is very eloquent with his words. But the thing that we need to, yes, we should study past milk and get some meat. But the problem is too many people want to jump ship on the milk and jump straight to meat. And they want to focus all their attention on the deep things, so-called, of the Scripture, when where they ought to be living is in the milk. What do you mean, preacher? I'm just saying, there are some people that get so deep, and they're so tied up in their Bible study, they never go soul winning. They never worry about committing the simple truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to another, but they're deep theologians. I wouldn't give you a nickel for any one of them. You're so deep that you forgot the things that God told you at the beginning. You need to come back and learn the first things again. It sounds a whole lot like that. Didn't look at that first church in the book of Revelation, they had their love wrong. He liked that they were very theologically right and they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. But how about your love? They even still had their works right, but their heart wasn't in it. The first thing to go before the works go is your heart's not in it anymore. You'll keep on with duty long before you quit. I look out over a group of people whom I love and whom Jesus died for, who desperately, listen, want you to stay in the work, stay grounded, and stay profitable, bringing forth fruit for generations to come. But if you're not careful, you'll keep on in duty and you won't get yourself back in the love of Christ and work through Him because you're doing it in the flesh. And you're not doing it. Listen, when you start doing it, listen to me, school teacher, at the end of the year, when you stop doing it for Christ and you're doing it for the kids, you aren't going to last long. Because the kids aren't always going to be what they ought to be. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Hey, listen, when you start doing it for the bus kids instead of Christ, it won't be long before you're off the bus. Because all it's going to take is one bus kid to be a knucklehead and tell you what he thinks of you and make you feel about this big. And instead of saying, I appreciate that, but I'm here for the Lord. Now listen, it's great when you can do it for the love of Jesus Christ and the bus kid. Because you love right. But he talks about this and he begins to deal with this through this chapter. And he says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, forever, established in my doctrine right, always tracking on the tracks of truth, always staying with the foundational truth. And as long as the train that runs through here stays on these tracks, I know it's grounded in the right place. He goes on and says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. He's still dealing and focusing on meat. It's a book written to the Hebrews, but it's a New Testament book of Jesus is better than everything in the back. Everything that's ever come before. And he says here, that altar that they've sacrificed on, we got a better altar than that. If you were to go back a few chapters, you'd find that there was an altar that was made without hands in heaven, where the blood of the Lord Jesus was put, not like the one on earth that was just a picture of the one in heaven that would pay and atone for everything. And he's saying, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which served the tabernacle. He's saying these Old Testament priests that served there, they had the right to eat the meat that was brought. They got a portion. They got to live, if we were talking about it, of our New Testament age, live of the gospel. What they worked, they got a portion to live off of. And you know, for us, listen, we live in a New Testament age and we have a different altar. We have a different tabernacle we serve in. We are not serving the old things that pictured. We live in an age that there's no picture. It's just straight up truth. It's Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one that came from heaven and died for us, the one we ought to love right, the one we ought to serve right, the one we ought to do right for. Why do we do all those things? Because the world needs us to communicate to them. The world, listen, for me to live as Christ and to die as grain, Paul is going to say, this altar that I'm going to lay my life down, he's going to go on with dealing with these sacrifices and saying, he says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He said they took what was left over, and they would burn it outside the gate. And Jesus went and suffered outside the gate just to picture what the Old Testament sacrifices would do. And he says, so what are we doing? We've heard the old story, and this might be a little bit of a go, rah, rah missions message for you tonight. But just for you to understand, he's saying we don't all need to stay in God's house and right up on the altar all stalled up. Jesus went outside of the camp. So we need to go out. Most of the people in this building, we gather together to worship our God on the first day of the week. And when we leave this place, we ought to leave in love with Him and in a service to Him. The sad part is, if we're not careful, we live in an America where this is the last time we think about Him until the next time we're inside the building. When we leave this building, it's not going with Him outside of this place to be a witness for Him. We go outside of this place to fulfill our own wants, to fulfill our own needs, not carrying Him and doing all things through Christ that strengthens me, but leaving out here to take care of my own things. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a family. And I have a family that needs me to do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Because if I do it my own power, I can mess it up. I'm not bound to mess it up. I will mess it up. There's a world out there that needs me to be a witness, not in my own strength, but in the strength of Christ through Him. He's going to say some of these things. I want you to look at this. He says, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. I don't know if you picked that up or not, but when you go out and tell people, not just in name, say I'm a Christian, because you know you work with those people. When was the last time you went to church? That don't mean, listen, church ain't never made nobody a Christian. But the word Christian truly means to be Christ-like. And a lot of people, listen, I'm going to tell you, the people, if Jesus was here today in the flesh, guess where He would be? In church. He'd be keeping the marks, amen? He'd be doing those things that He left us an ensample of in the New Testament. He says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You know, sometimes when we think about that, we get so focused on all the things that I'm not ripping against. I believe you ought to show up and vote. I think we ought to get involved in our local politics. I believe all those things are important. But you got to realize they all come secondary to my focus on Jesus Christ. They all are secondary, secular things outside of, again, the way to win our city, to get our city to look better, is to win them all to Christ. Now, we realize we also need to deal and focus on some of the laws of the land, because some of those people making laws ain't saved yet. And so we have to fight the good fight of faith in places like that as well. But we ought to be also doing it in a way that we could communicate Jesus Christ to those folks that are in leadership. He goes through the process here and says, let us go forth without the camp, bearing his reproach. If you truly act, look, and live like Jesus Christ, it will bring reproach. They killed Jesus. They're not going to be loving you. They hated Jesus. If you live, act, and speak in his in the manner that he would and act like he does, the world's not going to like you either. We have a world full of hate. And when you preach this book, and you stand up against transgenders, queers, alcohol, cigarettes. We go through the list of everything that we used to preach against as sin. When you say those things are wrong, guess what happens? People don't like you. When you speak truth... Truth, listen, I just want you to understand the reason that people have these non-denominational churches, all right? Get ready to make somebody upset. It's really not my intention. I'm just about to tell you the truth. The reason they don't tell you what they believe is because doctrine divides. That means when you say, this is my position, that means you placed yourself in a place and said, this is what the Bible says and what we believe. Okay? That separates. All right? That's why people separate on one side of the tracks or the other. Because the tracks of truth separate people. They decide where they're going to stand. You say, well, that's awful hard. No, it's doctrine. People have always stood with truth, halfway with the truth, or without truth. Somewhere along in there, always splitting the divide with one foot on one side or the other, one foot out with the world that are completely unbelievers and one foot barely testing the waters of faith. And then there's other people that have crossed to the other side and they live on one side of the tracks of, just in case this might be wrong, I'm living over here because I want to please my Lord. And then there's people that live close to this side of the tracks. You know what I'm saying? I see the truth, but I'm going to live next to the truth, but I don't want to live in the truth. He goes through this and he says, and he's coming to where we really, where the rubber meets the road. He says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I'd say number one tonight, offer the sacrifices of praise. If you are going to live in these paralleled truths, what he said, think on good things, and he talked about supplications and prayers with thanksgiving in Philippians chapter 4, you bring that over to Hebrews chapter 13, and he says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Do you know, through Christ, I can praise the way I ought to? By him? Do you know, if I put scriptural eyes on, I'd see a whole lot more to give thanks for. Too many times we pull in the driveway and look at what we have on earth instead of pulling up and realizing and seeing with scriptural eyes, I ain't always going to live here. One day I'm going to dwell in a place with a street of gold. I'm going to live in a place that's a mansion made just for me that Jesus Christ prepared with his own hands, and that's where I'll spend eternity. That's where I'm going to live for the rest of these days. This little place now thank God for what you gave me. I'm thankful for a roof over my head, but this ain't the end of all things. I don't have to have it everything on this side of heaven. I don't have to be all on this side of nasty now and now lifted up in praise. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, the Bible really measures one man that was a rich man that had it all on this side. And listen, I'm going to tell you, Abraham said, you had all those pleasures on this side of heaven. Let me paraphrase, if I would. The devil kept you well distracted on this side. Kept you counting all your money and counting all your time and investing in everything but eternity. And if we're not careful as Americans, we'll live and follow that rule that everything we do is for retirement here instead of retirement there. When that's what's going to matter. He goes on and he says, the sacrifice and giving thanks. I don't know about you, and just let me give you this, and we'll press on to the next point. What you offer your focus to will be what produces fruit in your life. What you offer your focus to is what will truly produce fruit in your life. If you focus on the things of money, that's not always true. The Lord doesn't always. I'm just going to tell you what I've noticed of born-again believers who have said, I'm going to be a millionaire before I hit this age. They don't often make that. Because God is constantly trying to steer them and get them back to where He wants them to be. Now, I know some good guys that give away much more than I make every year. And again, God had their heart and their focus all along, and He blessed them and gave them an opportunity to give. But when we set out with a focus not on the things of God, or not even really a focus on the sacrifice of praise. Listen, you know that if you just, God is a good God. And when you thank Him, I don't know about you, I've got a few kids, all right? And when they say thank you, my ears turn on. And I don't mind giving again. I don't mind giving again when they realize who gave it, and it didn't have to be given, but that was just the goodness of their Father. Think about what a believer on earth could do when he just praises God and thanks Him for just the things that God does for us. We all thank God for our mothers today, but again, did we really thank God for our mothers, or did we thank our mothers for being our mothers? And it was God who gave you to that lady, who entrusted you and your spirit and soul and body and formed you and took care of you in her womb and then allowed her to deliver you safely into this world. Even in this scripture, as I prepared for this morning, the Bible talks about, Paul uses the terminology, my God who took me from my mother's womb. Folks, I just want to tell you, there are so many things that we thank people on earth for, and it was God. I'm not trying to short mothers at all. They have a job to do, and I'm thankful for them. But we need to praise God for how good He is and keep our focus there. He says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased with. We are real good at the first, but bad at the second. The world and so much of Christianity does a great job of going out and feeding people, clothing people, helping people, and doing a lot of good, but they forget to communicate the key thing that every one of them need. You can give somebody a meal, but if you don't tell them about Jesus, you fed them and kept them alive another day, and they're still going to bust hell wide open. You can keep them clothed and keep them warm for one more night on the street, and you've done good. And the problem is, most of the people that are out there doing good are still hoping that their good will get them to heaven, because they're really not a Christian, because they've never trusted in the finished work of Christ. They're trying to do good to get there, when the good one, or the way, the truth, and the life is the one. That's why I do good, folks. I don't know about you, but there was no good in me. But when Jesus came in, it changed me. The physical good, but don't forget to communicate. You know the word communicate, the meaning in the 1828 dictionary means to impart, to give to another, to confer from one person to another. It's like to share it. Communication means that both of us are on the same page. Even in the gospel, when we understand communication, the word there, when we talk about the Great Commission, we're supposed to teach them everything. that we've been told. You know, most people, listen, I know, I want you to focus on this. Communication is a big problem in this world. I picked my daughter up on Friday night from the airport. I pulled up to a Taco Bell because it was the only thing still open. The box where someone's voice comes out and you hope someone is on the other end. The person on the box said, crunchy or soft. What do you, you know, I'm thinking, huh? That's what they communicated. Now, I'm looking at a board with number 1, 8, 9, you know, 1 through 10 or something on there, all kinds of different tacos and things. And what I get from the box is crunchy or soft. I turn and look at my son-in-law and go, I say, I'll have a number 8 and a number 10. He says, crunchy or soft. I said, I don't understand. All we have is crunchy and soft tacos. So I turn and look to the van because I'm not eating this stuff at 11 o'clock at night. They're eating it. They're hungry, right? They said, well, we'll just get the party box. 12 tacos. Or we'll have 12 tacos. We'll have half of them crunchy and half of them soft. They said, does it have to have lettuce? Because we ain't going to have lettuce. Man, you're the only thing open. Give us what you got, right? You know, put the meat and the cheese on there and let her go. And then put it in the box. And then he says, is there anything else? I'm thinking, I didn't know you had anything else in there. I said, do you have drinks? That's where we were at. He goes, yeah. Do you know how we laugh about that and we realize how that is just terrible communication. But do you know most of us expect the world to understand the things of Christ that we've read and we've studied and we've invested ourselves in, and we go out there and they don't have a clue. That guy inside that building knew and had probably told the last 10 people, hey, all we have left is crunchy and soft. But by the time I showed up, all he was saying was crunchy or soft. You know, tonight, as a Christian, we really ought to evaluate what our communication is to the world. Because we may have been a Christian so long, we just assume everybody ought to know what we know. And to the world, when we talk about Christ, all they hear is crunchy or soft. Extremes. As little information as we can possibly give, when most people need to hear from us what Jesus did for us. Paul always shared his testimony. Rather than going right into the nitty-gritty of the gospel, he always said, I was walking down the road one day, and a voice and a bright light struck me down and knocked me down on the road. And he had said, I was never the same. I was somebody who persecuted churches and hated the name of Christ. And that day he became my Lord and Savior and changed me from the inside out. Folks, you know, this world, so many people, if you would give them your personal testimony of what God did in your life, it would change their world. The people that I've seen in positions of honor in our town often will walk in at Restorathon. One of them walked in and shut the door behind me and began to bare his heart. He told me the transformation of a man that used to be in this building, and he said the transformation was night and day. He was a different man after he received Christ. And he began to share how he came to Christ. Folks, the world needs to hear it. They need us to communicate it. He goes through this to do good, but don't forget. Look at what he says, and to communicate, forget not. The reason it is penned down in Scripture is because most of us forget to communicate. We're good about doing good. We got the work thing down. But when we follow up the explaining how they can do, how they can be, how they can receive and be born again, they desperately need to hear it. Lastly, he says this, to all of us, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. In every ministry, in every school, in every political area, city, there always is a pecking order, is there not? Always get somebody answer to. And what we miss is, and the key to obedience to those that have the rule over you is submitting yourselves. We don't like it, but a lot of times the reason that we don't obey is we don't just submit. And again, we don't think about it, but when we go do a job, God, I mean, the Bible, throughout the Bible, if we were to run parallel passages tonight, he's clear. He's like, when you serve somebody else, do it as you're serving me. And you say, would it be easy if Jesus was here? I don't know about that. You think that you would just submit and do exactly what he says? Well, he's here in print. And you still question it. I'm not sure that's what it means. You know, when you know Jesus said something, it's just better if we just say, you know what, God, I submit to it. I preached hard about alcohol this morning. And it really wasn't that hard. I just told the truth. You know, that's a hard truth for some people to swallow because there's other things they want to swallow. But you know, the problem is, they don't obey the Word of God because they haven't submitted to God's reign and rule in their life yet. This book, I believe it. You know, he goes on, he says, and I mean, he just, throughout this book, he's going to say, communicate, forget not, in verse 16. Look at this. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll just turn back with me, if you'll just suffer me this, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is. That sounds like a redundant statement, doesn't it? But the problem is we don't finish it and think about what it says. That he is, that means that he exists, that he is real, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The day that my life changed and I received Jesus Christ was when I went past that God existed and I realized that God truly was a rewarder. Because even those, focus on this and understand me, hear me tonight. God doesn't just reward those that diligently seek him. He'll reward those that don't seek him. Those that that are lost, they will get punished. He will reward them for their deeds, for their rejection of Jesus Christ. They will spend eternity not just in hell. Hell will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. It's the end. Eternal end. It's a reward. And those of us who receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, he will reward. He's a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him and do his will and produce fruit for doing good and communicating. All the things that he said before for our obedience to him. God is a rewarder. That day changed my life. Because when I realized God would reward the deeds that I've done in my own life, or whether I say, I accept Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. And he awarded me what Jesus earned, not what I earned. I realized God was a rewarder. You know, that was a simple truth milk in the tracks of truth. And I realized my destination changed. Because the train that was going to come through the station wasn't powered by me, but by what Jesus did on Calvary. And then riding on that train and in the power of that train, I've been riding that train for a long time now. And now there's work on the train that I can do that I couldn't do in my own power. And all the while I'm moving towards a time of I'll spend eternity with him, at the destination is his because he's the one running the train. But when I stay in the tracks of truth, man, there's so much work to be done on that train. There's so many people that need pulled onto the train as it comes by. There's so many people that need, once they get on the train, they need to be taught everything that we've been taught. Yeah. Amen. We got such a job to do. But so many times our focus gets so worldly instead of being focused on Jesus Christ. We don't think on the right things. We forget to communicate the simple things of the Christian life. We love to communicate the meat. We want to argue with everybody. Even tonight, if I wasn't careful, boy, I read an article about some crazy scientist that has proven out. He's starting to prove evolution is what it said in the article. I was mad. I was so mad when I read that. He found a way to make yeast yeast in a different way. You know, the problem with that is none of that stuff, even though they can change one cell organisms into a different kind of the same one cell organism, none of that ever jumped ship and became something else. But they keep trying to strain and make it truth. And if we're not careful, we'll want to argue all the deep things. The things that we're interested in, when most people just need us to come and say, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you how he changed me. And because of that, we look around and our world is like it is today. Most of these people do good, do good, do good, but very few communicate. Tonight, the invitation is to our church, to the people. If I'm like you, if I don't think on good things, when I drive up and down the road, I see all the people, and I complain about all the people that God has brought into our town instead of thanking God that I have so many people to communicate his love to communicate his goodness, to tell about the cross. You know, if I'm not careful, I could complain. I hear so many reports, the radio station doesn't reach as far as it used to. Well, now there's four or five times the number of people in the small radius that you don't like how far it'll go. There's many more people that are still hearing the gospel, and they keep moving in under the coverage of that radio station. Folks, we've got to get looking on the positive things of this life and the work that God has called us to do, and never forget to communicate the love of God. If you're here tonight and you've never heard about how Christ could died on the cross for you, never accepted what he did for you on Calvary, tonight God will save you if you'll come to him. If you'll obey and submit and just accept what Jesus did on Calvary for you, you can be saved. But I think I'm talking to a lot of people who are already saved but have forgotten to communicate how good God is to you. Let's stand to our feet. As the musicians come, don't wait for them. You step out and come. I'll meet you here in the front tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Would you bow your heads with me tonight? If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, tonight could be the night that you get saved and you know for sure that heaven will be your home if you just put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. This is an old-fashioned invitation. We invite you to come down and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. As Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Sing this next one with him.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender.
Well, as we go out tonight, one of the best ways for us to communicate is take some tracts with us. Amen?
Amen.
And communicate to other folks where you go to church and invite them to be here with you this week. It'll do you good. And I really believe this. There's so many people in our town that are just waiting for someone to invite them to something. Amen. That's a place that they can go and that they can hear about Jesus Christ. Many of them have no idea how to be saved. They need someone to show them. They need someone to guide them, someone to communicate to them Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for a church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us keep close to you. This week, as we all go our different ways and kids are homeschooling and kids are in our Christian school, Lord, as we kind of close out our college year, Lord, I pray you just be with every aspect of our ministry. Guard it. Watch over every family in our ministry. Lord, help us now as we go our separate ways. Give us safety. Be with those who have surgery, those who have lost loved ones. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen.